is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
To the south of France, to Occitane, Simon Constable writing for Wall Street Journal and Barron's and other distinguished publications. But right now, we're checking on the climate in the south of France in these days of climate change in the news. South of France is always perfect. Simon, a good day to you. Give me the weather report and what you've been up to with these fair conditions. Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. The last few days have been bright and sunny, which is a great relief after really wet rain day after day after day and gray skies. Not gray compared to, say, Scotland, but gray for what is the norm here in France. So today, absolutely lovely, bright sun, out walking the dog. The dog's happy. Very similar yesterday. And I think tomorrow will be similar, maybe a little less sunny. And then Friday, we get some more rain. Of course, we need the rain so the crops can grow. But it's delightful right now.
And you're surrounded by farm country. So I ask if you've noticed any change in the behavior of the farmers. For example, the head of France's biggest farming union, this is Reuters reporting from Paris, said that protests that hit the sector last month could resume if the government does not do more to meet their demands. What are the demands? Loosening regulation and bureaucracy, that's net zero, and continuing subsidies, that would be to do with the fuel and the prices. And they want higher selling prices in supermarkets. Do you see any evidence of the farmers around you? I understand this is Le Pen country, but are they demonstrating in any fashion you can discern?
They are demonstrating. One of the really cute ways that they've done this is to turn the local road signs upside down. So if it said Albi, which is near to where I live, which is a beautiful cathedral city, you see some of the road signs just turned upside down, not damaged in any way. You can still read them. It's okay. But it's basically their message saying, look, we're here, we're protesting, and you know who did it. We did it. And then you've got the bigger type protests where hay bales are set on fire and tractors block the roads. And that tends to be much nearer bigger cities that have industrial complexes in them, including diesel refineries where that fuel is made so that it actually disrupts the rest of the country. Around here, there are so few people living, it's very hard to disrupt anything because it's so sparsely populated. But it is interesting, and they are hopping mad, but they're doing it in good nature. There is no violence so far, and I hope it won't get to that.
The protests have been spreading. I note the same concentration of beautiful tractors in France. We've seen them now in central Berlin blocking traffic, in Rome blocking traffic, and other parts of Italy where the farmers gather in the north. And also in the Netherlands, they were blocking traffic in the ports and protesting net zero ambitions. That's the green regulations. And protesting prices as well. The farm lobby in Europe, I learn, is 1% or 2% of the economy, but dominates the political lives of people, which is the strength Le Pen has. So what started in France is now spread to other parts of Europe. Let's go to commodities. How is the diesel price? How is the gasoline price?
Well, the diesel price, although I've yet to actually have this price when buying it, is 1.85 per liter. That's 1.85 euro per liter. I've been paying a little bit more down here in southern France, not a whole lot. It's still under 2 euros. Very happy with that. We got Brent crude up now, and that's at $83 a barrel. And just a few weeks ago, February 1st, it was 77. So it's jumped back up again. That is not, and clearly, very clearly, not to do with the economy recovering, because the economy in Britain, the economy in Germany, the major economy of the European Union, that's still very, very bad. This must be tensions on the military side. And we've got wheat doing basically nothing and corn continuing to fall. All of those things really on the trend that they were, with the exception of Brent crude, which has gone up.
Let's go home to Britain, because there's political trouble, Simon. You've been watching it. I've been watching it. Reuters headline, UK Labour Party's lead falls to lowest since June 23. Labour's lead over Britain's Conservatives has fallen 7 percentage points, reports Reuters, to its lowest level since 23 summer, according to a Savanta poll. After the opposition party, that's Labour, scrapped a green spending target and struggled with anti-Semitism allegations. The anti-Semitism, Simon, appears to be growing. I understand in a by-election in a place called Rochdale, which is near Manchester, the Labour candidate has made such unacceptable remarks, Labour's removed the label from him. Now, the Tories have been in power for 13 years. They're completely responsible for the mess the economy's in. However, Labour's giving them a rush to the bottom, Simon. How do you read this?
Well, I'm amazed at this, that this has come back. It's sort of a ghost from the Corbyn past, and it's come back to haunt Keir Starmer, that this anti-Semitism has popped up. All Keir Starmer had to do this time last year was to have his party say nothing. And I think at that point, a win would be assured. And now I'm not so sure by a long way. What you mentioned, the Rochdale situation, there was a private meeting inside which not just one person was caught saying anti-Semitic things, but more than one. And there were Labour Party people. The information was leaked to the Daily Mail, I understand, listening to the news this morning. And it really is quite a big, big problem. Britons, the people who live there, generally have a great sense of fair play. The idea that someone will be discriminated against because of their religion or their viewpoint just seems really off and really quite un-British. And that, I think, is why we're seeing this swing away from the Labour Party. No one wants to be around haters.
And Keir Starmer has worked very hard to make his party presentable, to get past Jeremy Corbyn. But it begins to be apparent, Simon, that Jeremy Corbyn was not by himself. He was not a one-off.
He wasn't. We're talking about people who were in the shadow cabinet. Those are the people who would fill the cabinet in the event of a Labour Party win. They go straight across the bench to be in that cabinet. So we're talking quite senior people within the Labour Party, and that is just horrific. We shouldn't have people who are going around spreading hate and then, you know, going for government and who would be in the government. This is absolutely awful.
In addition, I mentioned the Green. Net zero is a problem in Germany, huge problem for Olaf Scholz. It's a problem in Britain, we know, for those heat pumps that were mandated and then never mind. So I think that the combination of green aggression by Labour, everybody's for it until they have to pay for it, and now this anti-Semitism charge. Simon, they're just making it competitive. Is that fair to say?
I don't know whether the Labour Party wants to make it competitive. I know I wouldn't want a competitive situation. I'd want a landslide if I was running any political party, which hopefully I never will be. Anyway, that's it.
Simon Constable in the south of France, where paradise is returning very quickly, and the farmers turn all the necessary signs upside down, so easy to read. Just tilt your head a little bit. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.